Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I am JP. He is Nick Martin. How are you, Nick?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I am good. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. I think you need to take your hat off and show our fans.
You didn't get 10 seconds into this episode and you need to bring that up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, don't you worry. We'll get there.
Okay.
I promise we'll get there. We don't want to take any of the lightning and the thunder and the enthusiasm away from today's incredibly awesome, incredibly cool dad. Welcome to Dadcast. Let me introduce him first. He is a member of the band Breaking Benjamin, formerly in Adelita's Way. He's got an amazing solo project going on, formerly of the band Copper, and probably like every other band you've ever heard of in your entire life. Welcome to Dadcast, Mr. Keith Wallen. How are you, bud?
How's it going? Hey, thanks for having me. That was an amazing intro. Thank you for that.
I try. I do my best. We try to do it. Now, here we found out before we got started actually recording this thing today that you are, in fact, not a father.
True.
Okay. So I'm not sure if you're aware, but the premise of Dadcast typically is we talk with other dads, celebrity dads, musician dads, athlete dads, dads of all walks of life to discuss the path and the adventure that is being a father. Well, with that being said, and you are not being a dad, Keith, it's been amazing having you on and hope you have a great day.
Hey, thank you.
Man, we're just playing. Totally fine, man. We do guests all the time. You know, just because it's called Dadcast, that doesn't necessarily mean the guests have to be dads. The fact that we are dads will still hold that title up in this episode just fine. So with that being said, I normally have a first question. Can't ask you that. I already know the answer. So I will ask you this question instead. First question, Keith Wallen, is fatherhood an option for you in the future?
Never say never.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I know that's kind of a cop-out answer, but really that's it. That's where we're at with it.
Dude, kids are scary. It's all good.
Yeah. Terrifying, you know. I've been an uncle for a long time, and all of my good friends, all of my best friends have all started having kids. So it's been fun being Uncle Keith, but mm-hmm. It's also been nice to be like, all right, guys, see you later. Uncle Keith,
right, exactly. Leaving. You can hand them back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We don't have that luxury. And I ain't going to lie.
I would give anything for that luxury.
Sometimes it's, and don't get me wrong, being a dad is one of the greatest gifts ever bestowed upon me. And I wouldn't ever, ever change it for anything. But I would give it up for a day or two, you know.
You're like, sometimes you want to go to Vegas and you think it's a great idea to bring an infant. Don't do it. Don't ever do it. It's stupid.
Yeah, that's what everybody I know says. They say it's the most amazing thing, life changing thing, and they wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And while I don't know that feeling firsthand, I feel like I can empathize a little bit, you know. I can see how how you could just love someone more than yourself, you know. I know you guys are like, yeah, you don't really know, because, you know, obviously, yeah, but you know, I can kind of understand a little bit, not firsthand, but the best I can, I guess. I don't know.
It's kind of a very strange concept and something to think about is watching on a daily basis, your heart walking around out of your body. It's pretty crazy, right? Oh, deep, got deep there. Sorry. Yeah. Keith, okay. So we've covered that. Kids, maybe never can tell.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears. We're going to go into something that I'm sure you are used to, something that is typical for you when you're being interviewed, although this is long form, so we can actually get into the nitty gritty. Tell us about, well, you know what? No, let me rephrase. Right now, what is the number one on the top of the list project you got going on? Is it Breaking Benjamin? Is it your solo career? What do we got going on that to you is most important in life as we speak?
Really, I mean, gosh, it's tough to, you know, the probably the most important thing in my life right now, as far as project, is just really taking the time to stay positive in an extremely negative and hard world. I know that's kind of a different answer than the choices that you gave me, but at this point, I feel like we are living in extremely interesting and kind of just bummer times.
Yeah, it's the twilight zone for real, isn't it?
Man, it is. It is. And, you know, it's really tough. You know, we're in this awful pandemic. You know, there was a minute or two where we're like, all right, maybe we're going to make it through this. And now, obviously, it's not doing too well at the moment. But, you know, that being said, I still am not losing track of hope and the belief that we can get back to a more normal world and a more normal society where people can show each other respect, even though they don't agree on every little thing. And, you know, I've done my I've done a lot of work to try and avoid being political in any way. Like I'm a musician. I want to try to be the escape from all that kind of stuff and all that kind of negativity. And I'm going to continue to do that. So I'm just trying to be positive and promote positivity. And, you know, cause there's a lot of just mental health struggles happening right now, whether it be the job, the pandemic, the isolation from family, just the whole world in general being different than what it was 2 years ago. You know, I look at, you know, I'll be watching a show or something. I'm just, oh, look at that. I'm like, look at that. They don't even have masks. Like, wow, I remember that. That was great. You know, you just have this little mourning in your heart of the pre-COVID world. And it just sucks, you know? So I try to just really just, I don't know, focus on the positive. But I mean, as far as like your question more specifically, since this is the long form answer, as yes. You said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I digress a little bit there. But I think both are very important to me. Breaking Benjamin, obviously, is my band. And I love playing with those guys. It's the best. And it's allowed me a little bit of off time to work on other stuff that I feel that maybe is not quite the right fit for Breaking Benjamin. So I think they're equally important to me, you know. I don't want to just, you know, if we have time off, I don't want to, you know, just relax too much. I want to be able to make as much music as I can, you know, because I know that there's going to be one day when I'm super old. I'm kind of old now, but there's going to be one day when I'm super old. And I'm going to be thinking back and I don't want to have any regrets. I don't want to be like, man, if only I'd just written more music or sang some more songs or went on some more tours and really just, you know, I was too lazy and I just sat around in the off time. And, you know, I just don't want to have that feeling. I want to look back on a career and a life well lived and use whatever skills and whatever I have now while I still have it. To make as much music as I can. So that's really it. You know, I think a lot of people, when you look at somebody making a solo album, you know, they're like, oh, this is such an ego. This is kind of an ego kind of thing. You know, they're just wanting to just, you know, make something that's just me, me, me. And I mean, I wouldn't say that it's completely not that, you know, but I want to just, I don't know. I just love making music. I love writing songs. And, people seem to like some of the stuff that I put out, and I definitely want to try and just keep doing that and keep making people happy with whatever kind of offering I can give. And obviously, still working tirelessly on Breaking Benjamin, you know, pretty close to full time also. So,
awesome, man, I love that.
That's it, man. Yeah, that's a long answer, but that's really truth. I love making music. It's the one thing that I feel like I'm the best at as far as everything that I've ever tried to do in my life. And it's just, I feel like music is the closest thing to actual magic that we have in this world that can really just change your whole, you know, your whole mood, your whole feeling, your whole anything. And so anyway,
That's a good answer. Yeah. Sorry, my Green Street freaking Jim out.
Better with your solo stuff, by the way. Like I love it. It's so good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good stuff. I noticed behind you, because that's one of my my secret hobbies is to analyze guests' backgrounds, and I see that Saving Abel placard back there. I know you've written a couple songs with those guys, and we actually had them on. Gosh, by the time this episode airs, probably about 7 or 8 episodes ago. Yeah. That's pretty cool, man. Little small world.
Yeah, one song I wrote with their producer, Skid Mills. I never met any of the band members personally or have seen them or anything or talked to them or anything at all. But
super nice guys if you ever do get to meet them.
That's good. I figured they would be. You know, they're from the South like I am, and most people from the South are pretty darn nice. So
yeah. So it's kind of a cool thing that we do on the side that nobody knows about yet is we actually manage bands. We manage Jesse Lawson.
They know now.
They know now. Yeah. He was in Sleeping with Sirens for 7 years. He wrote all their gold records. So he's actually writing songs for Hinder right now, which is kind of cool. Wow. We also manage a punk band out of Vegas called Sprockets, and we're working on another huge YouTube sensation that we should be able to announce pretty soon. I can't announce it yet, but.
Right on. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we got the podcast and music management. So we kind of understand, you know, the whole pandemic thing of everything's changing. There's a lot of virtual stuff going on now that we're having to adapt to. And
yeah.
So we actually have a concert coming up on Friday that we're doing. I think we have like 60 in-person tickets sold, and then we'll do mainly virtual, which is weird. I've been doing concerts for 20 years, and it's really strange to have your audience out there in the world somewhere and not right in front of you.
Yeah, I've begun kind of thinking about that. You know, ideally, we'd all like to go back to just playing shows and having that real life interaction with fans and artists and you know, but it's like, gosh, it's like what I said, times, it's interesting times. It's all unknown. So you kind of have to prepare for all different scenarios, you know, then the virtual stuff, it's so expensive. I feel like, you know, because I've thought about doing it myself for my solo stuff. And it's just, man, the cost just adds up, you know, to really do it right, in my opinion. I mean, anybody can sit in their living room with an iPhone and be like, hey, you're coming to you live from my basement. You know,
It's
like,
no, we have a really cool system set up. There's a studio in downtown Grants Pass where I'm from that has state-of-the-art cameras, sound system, and they've got an engineer that makes the sound perfect for everything. The concerts we do are all interactive. So JP actually hosts them, and the audience can ask questions that we can ask the artist during the concert, which is really cool. So we made it kind of almost like you're there, but you're not.
That's really cool. Yeah.
He ain't kidding, Keith. If you were to implement half of what the Hive, that's the name of the joint. If you're an implement financial half of what of just the equipment they use to pull off this incredible. Yeah, it is super duper expensive. Then, of course, you know, you need to know how to run it all and edit it and make it all go smooth. So, yeah, it is a pretty penny to do.
We might have to get you out here with your solo stuff to do one of the events live from the Hive with us. That might be kind of cool.
Yeah, maybe, man. It's kind of like, you know, the future's unknown as far as touring schedule and writing schedule. I mean, it's, you know, I, like I said, I thought we were kind of back on the right track and things are kind of opening up. And now it's just like one big question mark again, which is frustrating. I mean, obviously, you know, we want, you know, everybody to be safe. But it's just tough right now. Yeah. But that'd be awesome, man. Yeah, for sure. I'd definitely like to learn more about it.
Cool. Yeah, buddy. I'm sorry. I'm trying to find that article I was telling you about that said you have children, and I'm thinking I'm making myself out to be a liar now.
Yeah. What? No. Now what?
That's funny.
What were the kids? Was it two girls and what?
It was two boys and one girl. Now, do you have a brother and a sister? Maybe it's talking about your actual family here. That's funny.
I am the baby of the family. I have two older brothers.
All right. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and minimize this because at this point, I don't care. It doesn't matter. We got you. That's what's important.
I think it's great. I think it's so funny that
it's probably Wikipedia and someone decided.
I think I actually found the same thing you found. Because I think that's why I thought you were a dad.
That's hilarious. Well,
I
hey.
I know I read somewhere that you had kids.
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to thank whoever wrote that article for leading me to you guys so I can hang out with y'all. So yes, it wasn't all for naught.
Exactly.
And again, for the record, even if you're not, we've been trying to get ladies on, women who are playing the role of a single dad or, single mothers who have to play both roles, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, right.
We're still working on that one. Kathy Ireland, I think we're trying to get her on, right, Nick? Yeah. I don't think she's single, but, regardless. Keith, so I've got a friend of mine. He's actually he's a friend. He's a buddy of mine. I kind of mentored him. I used to work in radio, still work in radio, and he's always comes to me for questions, et cetera, et cetera. The point of this long-winded explanation is he very well could possibly be the biggest Breaking Benjamin fan I've ever known. And he, wow. I know I don't want to go as far as to say he stalks you on Facebook, but literally when I just was looking at some information about you, there he was commenting on your, on one of your most recent posts. But I told him yesterday that I would arrange for Keith from Breaking Benjamin to give him a shout out. Is that something you're willing to do?
Absolutely.
So his name is Zachary Wangle. Ring a bell?
Zachary Wangle.
Yeah.
That does not ring a bell.
All right. Well, there you go. Zachary, here it is. Keith just said your name on the podcast. So,
man, okay. All right. I got to know a few things. Where does Zachary live?
Medford, Oregon.
Medford, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And he is a radio DJ?
He's actually a karate instructor.
okay.
But a huge. So he was interested in working in radio and learning the ins and outs, et cetera, et cetera. So I was formerly the program director of a radio station that shall not be named. And he came in and I, showed him the ropes, et cetera. I actually threw him on the air a couple of times. He wanted to learn awesome. About audio editing, et cetera, et cetera. But he's a huge fan. Took him to a couple of concerts to Papa Roach. I was kind of like his big brother / mentor type scenario, and that's learning awesome. All this Breaking Benjamin is he's absolutely batshit crazy for the band and not in a bad way.
Wow. Well, that's awesome.
Well, he just loves you guys.
Well, Zachary, please know that we are so very, very, very grateful for you. We appreciate all the support. I personally appreciate all the support for my band, my solo stuff, all of the above. And hopefully we'll be back in Oregon soon. And hopefully the world will return to normal and we can play shows and hang out and all of the above. So, yeah. Thank you so much.
Speaking of returning to normal and shows, so you guys just finished up tour, was it a couple weeks ago, end of December?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we had an acoustic tour.
Are there any tours set up for this year?
Anything in the works? Hope so. Yeah, we're definitely planning on doing a lot of touring. I think it's just right now we're just kind of like waiting to see what's going to happen, whether or not we're going to announce something or wait, or it's one big question mark, so that's where we're at.
How much difficulty did you and the guys in the band have coming out of the first part of the pandemic in 2020 and most of last year touring?
Well, I wouldn't say it was difficulty. It was definite just, excitement. It was, we were just elated to be back and playing shows in any capacity. And, it was really amazing to feel that feeling again of, this is what I've been doing for the last 20 years in the music industry. Oh yeah. Okay. So to have that taken away like it was devastating. And so, to kind of get back in the saddle somewhat was a huge relief and thrilling. It was great. And the shows and the tour was amazing. Yeah. I mean, I think at first I personally was a little nervous. I was like, man, how do I play this shit? Cause it's been like, a year and a half. So, you know, it kind of was a little rusty, but you know, first show just felt great. And I was like, all right, we're good. You know? So, and then we recently did this other tour, this acoustic tour, you know, still kind of just nothing really just, you know, nationwide yet, but still kind of, you know, dipping our toes in to kind of easing into this thing, this touring thing again. And it was a blast. It was so fun. We wanted to kind of play more intimate places for this acoustic run. And I was the opening act, for this tour, which was very thrilling. Much props.
You effectively opened and closed for yourself.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad you said that because that was the running joke during the whole tour, that was my thing. It was pretty much like, okay, well, you know, lots of people, you know, I walk out there by myself to open the show and, you know, I don't assume everybody knows who I am and that I'm in the band and whatever, you know, I'm just like, I'm Keith Wallen. Thanks for being here early to hang with me. No, I did not leave Breaking Benjamin. Yes. Yes. I am opening for myself. Yes. Blah, blah. You know, so it was kind of a funny thing. And Ben was, he was sure to, make fun of me for it every night, which was pretty funny.
Talk about earlier about being selfish. I think that is literally the definition, man.
It all. Yeah. Yeah. I know. It doesn't look good, huh? It's, let's more about me. No.
Right.
It was really an amazing experience. I'm so thankful and grateful to my Breaking Benjamin brothers for giving me the opportunity and just being so supportive of my solo album to do that. You'd be like, let's get him to open the show. And, you know, so it was awesome. But I will say it was difficult because it double duty every night. It was a lot on my voice. So it was really challenging. And I was curious to see if I could even do it, which I was, but it was not without its difficulty for sure. And plus just being out there by yourself, you know, I totally plan on eventually having a whole band and doing the solo thing and playing some shows with a full band. But for this, the acoustic thing, it was just me by myself. So, it was uncomfortable, but it also just makes you feel alive, just kind of being out there out of your comfort zone. And, just, you know, so it was cool.
Nice. Love that. So what'd you guys do? What'd you do on New Year's Eve? Any partying? Take it easy,
dude. I didn't do anything. My wife made some delicious food. We ate and then just watched the ball drop, and a few friends of mine FaceTimed me from different places, and so that was cool. But other than that, man, I pretty much stay in on New Year's Eve unless I'm on tour.
Yeah. Since I became a dad, that's kind of been the same thing. My lady passed out at 11:30. I had to wake her up. And my daughter, who's 8, she was trying her hardest. And like 11:40, she finally popped out. So 5 minutes before I woke her up. And at that point, she didn't want to be bothered. But so it was crazy how in my 20s, it was all about how much partied up can we get? Oh, I'll just be frank. How drunk can we get without being a complete idiot, but still being somewhat there when it's time to midnight? Now it's just like, whatever.
I'm lucky if I make it to 9 o'clock.
Well, you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning every day. This guy.
Wow.
He's a crazy workaholic, workout guy, machine beast. All that in a package. It's 4'11". Crazy.
I know. It's weird.
That's when I'm usually going to bed.
Right? I know. Okay, I'll share. So on New Year's Day, I no idea why, but I decided I was going to grow my hair out for an entire year. But to effectively do it properly, I had to start, you know, from a foundation that had nothing. So we shaved the head, and that was literally 2 days ago. So here is, in all its beautiful bald glory, Nick, the beginnings of a year-long hair growth challenge. You happy? I, I, Told you I'd show everyone.
And along with your challenge, I'm going to grow the mullet for a year.
Oh, see? Backwards.
There you go.
Mine's going to turn into a mullet, whether I want it to or not.
And I love that. And you just keep it forever.
But yeah, the lady, she's kind of, she's, I don't want to say intimidated, but that's kind of the word. That every time she looks at me now, because she's not used to it, I get a look. She hates it. She hates it. But anyway, there you go, Keith. Sorry, I didn't mean to. There I go, making it all about me again. I apologize.
No, I've got the most selfish co-host I've ever had.
I'm not the only co-host you've ever had.
Well, yeah.
Where were you, Keith, when you heard yourself or any member or you know, when you heard your music played on an actual full-fledged radio station and you were just driving along or at a home, whether for any band you've ever been in? As I know it's had to have happened.
Where was I? Gosh. Probably driving. Yeah, this was back in the Knoxville, Tennessee days with my Copper. First band,
yep.
Copper. Yeah. Yeah, we got a little bit of regional love from some of the radio stations there in town and around Knoxville. And it was amazing. It's a great feeling. And it always sounds so much better on the radio for some reason. It's like so compressed and just like, wow, that sounds way better. So it was cool.
Very cool.
That's one of those things that I love doing, you know, in 20 years working in radio, having, and radio is not the same as it used to be. Gosh, in the 80s and 90s, and you know, even going farther back, yeah, mm-hmm. So different with the implementation of streaming and social media, et cetera. But when you, there's been a couple times where same thing, some regional bands got to get played on the radio and they heard it for the first time. And I was the one able to provide it, whether the managers agreed with me or not at the time, I just did it.
That's great.
Better ask for forgiveness than permission type scenario. And being able to do that for them. And just their reactions and their fans' reactions, man, love it. I'll get
that's great.
10 times over if I could keep doing that. But
oh man,
radio's kind of dead.
That is great. That is great, man. I love hearing that. And I mean, that is honestly, we've had a few of those type of just champion people like that back in the day really did the same thing you're talking about. You know, where you know they've got all these labels like, you know, barking at them to play this, play that, you know, corporate, you know, I got a call from corporate, the Budweiser sponsor says, play this, you know, and you're just like, and I mean, it's just amazing that you know, you guys were there to do that kind of thing. You know, a huge shout out to Anthony Prophet, who did that for us in Knoxville, and Daniel Bozick. I don't know if you know these gentlemen, but
I do not, but Anthony Prophet, if this ever reaches you, man, welcome to Dadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. They absolutely played Copper on the radio when they didn't have to. There was nothing in it for them whatsoever other than to just support a few local kids and their dreams. And, you know, I'll never forget it. So much props to you for also doing the same. That's awesome, man.
I try.
JP was the best of that. So when I used to throw concerts, or I still do. But for like probably 22, 23 years, and JP was always my radio guy. Like I would bring him Tallboy, for example, and he'd play Tallboy, which was awesome.
That's one of the bands I was talking about.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like, it's whoever we had opening, it's like, hey, man, can you put this into rotation for the week leading up to the show? And he usually did it, which was
that's really great.
Cool. Yeah. The bands got super excited. And
stop buttering up JP. Yeah. Again, stop about me. Stop it.
I'm going to hit you with like, hey, we got 12 interviews next week. No,
just kidding. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of thing, I mean, you know, I will never forget it for as long as I live. And I guarantee those artists will never forget it for as long as they live. I mean, that is a highlight memory for me of my life. So, yeah, that's amazing, man.
Best moment of 21 for Keith Wallen. If you can even pinpoint one.
I have a couple. My album came out in August. That was cool. I made my first lame TikTok video. Nice. I don't know if that's a great moment, but
Yeah, that was a moment for me.
I have to look it up immediately. Is your name falling on TikTok?
I'm kind of slacking, honestly. There, you know, people post every day on that stuff, and I just it takes me a long time to think of what I'm gonna do, and you know, because I don't want to just do some stupid dance or whatever that everybody does or whatever. You know, I want to make it my own, but it's just hard to think up stuff too.
It's crazy how the music industry has gone into TikTok though for like picking the next artist and whatnot, and just how famous, like Walker Hayes, for example. Mm-hmm. I've known that guy for a while and done a couple shows with him, and nothing. Then all of a sudden he does Fancy Like on TikTok and it just blows up. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, unless some of these artists have just these think tanks sitting around thinking of ideas for videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these artists, they have to just sit and think of what they're going to do and do it themselves. And they have to wear multiple hats. You know, you have to be a videographer, a producer, a singer, you know, all of these things. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely challenging. And especially for old dudes like me, where I'm just like, no, I don't want to change. I want to, you know, it's like, you got to adapt.
I hear you. So I just followed you on TikTok and,
Awesome.
And so you get an extra one, but yeah, I fought the TikTok thing tooth and nail. And finally
I did too.
I went to Hawaii and I met one of the biggest, like one of the top 150 TikTokers in the world, at least at that point. He's got like 10 million followers and very, very popular and doing very, very well for himself financially now because of TikTok. But I totally met this guy in Hawaii. I had no idea who he was because I'm not a TikToker, but I am very, very affluent and aware of how important social media can be these days. And looked him up after the fact and went, oh man, I was hanging out with this kid and oh man, he's pretty gosh darn popular. So at that point I'm like, all right, I'll make a TikTok. I've got the personality to do some stupid, crazy stuff. Let's, here we go. And so that's about a month into that relationship. And yeah, it's fun. My kids are way better at it than I am.
Mm-hmm. it's just hard for me to think of stuff to do. And, plus it's also just, I come from, the era where artists still had just a mystique about them. I don't really need to know what James Hatfield is eating for breakfast. You know, that's like my ultimate hero.
It was probably eggs.
Yeah.
Come on. Reference. All right.
Yeah, but no, totally. I mean, it's, some part of me is just like, I don't know. I don't want to show my whole life.
So Hatfield's your hero is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Have you met James?
I have not.
Me neither. And that's a bucket list thing.
I held his guitar.
Let's work this. Let's try to use your influence and our Dadcast influence, and we'll get James on the Dadcast, but you will be our special co-host for that episode. Yes. And then we can work it into Breaking Benjamin opening for Metallica at the Forum or something. I mean, I got high hopes here, you know.
And there we go.
Are we in? The only thing I get to ask, though, is I get front and center and backstage for that show.
If you can pull that off, I'm in.
Yeah. If I can pull that off, I probably get a box seat or something, whatever the case. Keith and Kirk, or not Keith, you're Keith, James and Kirk, Lars, I'm sorry, Lars.
I look at it this way, dude. If Rogan can get James on, so can we.
Yeah. Has he been on?
He's been on Rogan, yeah.
Well, who hasn't been on Joe Rogan?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who was on Rogan?
James.
No way. Really?
Yeah. He talked about his bees and living on the farm and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. He's very,
oh man.
It was a cool episode. Like very
cool interview. I got to find that.
One of my all time favorites, actually.
Well, anything that's to do cool. with Joe Rogan, name dropping Joe Rogan, algorithm Joe Rogan. It would be, is Nick's a fan of. So, hey, Nick,
you know, we haven't been on Joe Rogan yet. So there you go. There's two dudes that haven't been on Rogan.
Fair enough. Keith, have you been on Joe Rogan?
Can't say that I have.
All right. So yeah, three guys who've never been on Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan. We're just going off the rails on this here, son of a bitch, aren't we? So typically We'll do a fast five segment. That's where Nick asks you five random questions. But if I know Nick, three of those questions had something to do with children. So are we going to do a fast two, Nick? Or
we'll do a fast one. We'll ask one. Yeah, we'll just, I had five solid questions, like four really good dad questions. Obviously, we can't ask those. So we'll just do a fast one.
Okay, but I'm going to add a few because you know I always do.
All right. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Probably right now at the moment, it would say, don't lose hope.
Awesome.
Period.
I know that's cheesy and cliche, but honestly,
we need that though.
I feel like the world needs it. I don't know.
Yeah. Or, you know, unity or be kind or all these things. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Good answer. Or just go outside. Go outside.
I'd love to. Where are you at right now? What town? What city? What state?
So I am in Tri-Cities, Tennessee at the moment.
Okay. And how's the weather?
It's cold. It was warm this whole week, but it's cold now. It's a little close to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it was supposed to have a big winter storm last night, but it missed us. But it is colder now.
Ours is probably heading your direction in about 7 or 8 days. We're in the Pacific Northwest. I'm a California kid. I'm a Los Angeles, Southern California kid at heart. So I love and am used to the warm weather. Last 20 years, I've lived in the Pacific Northwest where we get every single season. And we are currently in the middle of a pretty record-setting set of storms that have come in since Christmas. So it's been like 21 degrees at night. Sometimes there's snow, sometimes there's not, but you say get outside. Not right now. No, it's freezing, man.
Just got to get some skis on and go do it.
Oh, okay. That's just it. Our local ski resort, Mount Ashland, free plug, literally closed because you can't get there because the blizzard is so bad on the roads just to get up there.
Oh, that sucks.
It's friggin' batty. There's no way out of Oregon. I mean, if something terrible were to happen, you're stuck. Yeah, you're stuck. You know, only way out is by plane, essentially. There's just no driving, maybe a train, but you can play one show, Keith, with any artist or band, living or dead. Who's it going to be?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, my father was a singer. He is deceased. And I would play a show with him, probably. He was a singer back in the day, back in the 60s. And that would be
That is the best answer we've heard yet, at least for me, in my opinion. Yeah. That's, you know, it reminds me of another question I always ask that most people don't think about. And I tell them this answer from someone who's been on before and they hear it and they go, oh, I should have said that. That's one of those moments, man. That's love that. I would I'd probably choose the same, even though my dad couldn't play anything. But I'd still go to a show with them. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm going to ask that question. Maybe you'll be insightful. What's one thing you cannot leave the house without?
I mean, unfortunately, my phone.
Yep. And there you go. Typical answer. You know what George Thorogood said?
What?
Without kissing my wife.
Damn.
God, exactly. Every time you hear it, you go, see, that's not, I was thinking material. And just the one of the greatest answers to that question that I've ever heard. You, Keith, are in that category for the previous question now. Yeah. No one's answered it better, man. So you are up there with the legendary George Thorogood. What, Nick?
On that note, do you have any new Breaking Benjamin stuff or anything you can tell us about? Because I am.
I don't have anything that, nothing too much set in stone. I mean, we're constantly writing. Mm-hmm. We're always working on stuff. But as of right now, I have no new monumental groundbreaking updates on anything other than, you know, new music will be done when it's done. That's it. I don't know.
This might answer the same question, but what, in Keith Wallen's world, in his mind, What is, if there's a single most important goal for you to achieve in 2022, what would it be?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. You know, I want to say I'd more of the same, I guess, just trying to work on music, trying to be a good person, try to be, you know, the best person I can. And I don't know, try to uplift people around me. I don't know.
There you go.
That's try to just help in general. I just want to be a help in general. So whatever that, however I can. So
you want to be like the professional humankind assistant?
Yeah, I just don't know. That's a difficult question. You know, obviously, you know, you think about the selfish things in your life, you know, I'd like to make more money. I'd like to blah, 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 you know, but it's just like, I don't know. That's just, I don't know. Doesn't feel right. So I just want to.
Are you a sports fan?
What's that?
Are you a sports fan?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All for right. Sure.
Football?
I'm a huge college football fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's your college team?
Tennessee Volunteers.
All right. How do you feel about the old repeat Alabama, Georgia coming up here? They could both tie and you'd be fine with it, right?
Meh.
That's how I feel.
I mean, you know, it's too bad they can't both lose.
Right. That's why I said they should tie.
Yeah.
Now, being that you're in Tennessee, are you a Titan fan?
I am.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm a Raider fan. And as of this recording right now, Nick, Keith, the Raiders got a game coming up on Sunday. If they win, they're in the friggin' playoffs with a healthy quarterback, at least at this point. And we might see Tennessee in the playoffs if it gets that far. But I'm excited. I'm a huge Raider fan, so it's been like literally 30 years of just deafening disappointment for this guy.
Yeah, that's been being a Tennessee fan for like the last 15, 20 years or something. Ever since you know, they got rid of Phil Fulmer, we've had all kinds of different coaches. I think we got a great coach now with Josh Heupel. But dude, the Raiders, you guys have had a really tough season with the whole John Gruden thing. I mean, to even get through the season and to have a chance to be in the playoffs with that much of a distraction and that huge blow up fallout thing is pretty incredible. So
it says something about the tenacity and the grit, I think, of the
absolutely
team and Derek Carr, because you know he's the leader in that team. I don't, you know, no matter what anyone says, he's the one to bring them together. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And then of course the Ruggs DUI crash killing scenario. It's amazing what they put together. And worst case, man, if they lose next Sunday, it's still a winning season because they won 9 games. And that's what I'm going to hang my hat on and say for the entire offseason in the fetal position, if that's the scenario that plays out. But yeah, I'm pretty, pretty happy about that. Wow. Okay. I didn't mean to get all crazy on the sports. I just wanted to find out who your team was. I'm backing up. The question I asked, you answered your father. Okay. You could play any show with any band or artist, living or dead, that is not your father.
I'm
trying to get the musical influences, man. It's a sneaky way of asking question.
I got to step out for a second. I have an emergency.
Okay.
Let me see. What artists? Can it be multiple artists?
Sure.
Like just a crazy hodgepodge of different genres. And
oh, you could play a festival with 30 bands, living or dead. Is that a better?
Yeah, there you go. All right. I would say, I mean, obviously these aren't going to work. They're not going to work together, but I don't care. It's my special dream concert. Let's do Frank Sinatra in there.
Okay.
Let's do Metallica.
Can you imagine Frank coming out if he was still alive and sharing the stage with Jay? I think hell would freeze over, man. That's so awesome.
I mean, I'd just be there for it.
Visualization right now is great because Frank is my dad's favorite and Metallica is one of my favorites. So it's.
Yep. Yep. I would be there for it. I'd be like, yep, let's do this. gosh, I don't know. Who else? Maybe. I don't know. Let's just leave it at that. Those are my two biggies.
Now, most importantly, is Frank close? for Metallica, or does Metallica close for Frank?
Now, funny you ask that, because I was picturing it in my head, and I just pictured two stages on just opposite ends of a, you know, I don't know. You can't pick an opener or a closer with that.
I know, right? But you can't miss it either. So if you go to this show, you're
caught. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Keith, I said, if you could do any show, and we turned it into a festival, but he chose Frank Sinatra and Metallica. And then I said, can you imagine if they played that show? How, you know, yeah, good stuff, right?
Yeah. Fortunately, we don't have to make that decision. That'd be, they'd have to settle that.
Yeah, they would. And maybe they're doing that somewhere in the concerts in the sky up there. There you go. Easy. Everything good, man? You all right?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, cool. Keith Wallen, he is got a solo project going on. He's formerly, is Copper still a thing?
No, it's not. I mean, I'm still friends with those guys, and we played a reunion show a few years ago. So, you know, still, it's one of those things we could always just kind of get together and play a show every once in a while. But as far as a working current band, no.
Fair enough. All right. I got two more questions and then we're going to let you go.
All right.
And these are important, serious, and very digging questions.
All right.
What's your favorite food?
Now this is very important.
Okay.
So.
Like you're trapped on an island and you can only eat this for the rest of your life. What cereal?
I mean, I know it's so cliche and oversaid, but I mean, I would say pizza.
Okay. But what's on the pizza?
Okay. I'm glad you asked.
That's important.
More specifically, New York thin crust pizza.
Okay.
Straight cheese? I'll go with cheese and mushrooms.
Okay. That's you and it. I would not get along on that island.
I would definitely
give you all my mushrooms.
I'm deathly allergic to mushrooms. I would die.
then Survivor Island, it's about Keith and JP.
Yeah. You guys are not allowed on my island.
You're sitting on the couch. You're scrolling through TV, if that's something you do. A movie is on. What is the movie that you cannot pass up and stop and have to watch every time you see it?
Predator.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Yeah. Stick around. Okay, Predator. Definitely. You will not ugly motherfucker or something along those lines. Hey, there you go, Nick. I dropped the first F-bomb for the first time in like 9 months.
I'm so proud of you.
That's Thank awesome. You, man. I appreciate it. But I was a quote, so I'm not entirely sure that counts.
Speaking of F-bombs, I just binged Cobra Kai season 4.
So did I.
Quite a few F-bombs in Cobra Kai season 4.
Yes, there were. They allow a certain amount.
I was like, what is going on here? This is supposed to be a kid and family movie.
Well, but Keith, you're what, 42, 41?
41.
41. Okay, so yeah, I'm the elder statement of this group here, of this little three-man motley crew. But Karate Kid, we're still in the same genre, in my opinion, as far as movies in the 80s.
Yep.
Have you watched Cobra Kai, and are you a fan of the original Karate Kids in this? Because I cannot... It's so cheese ball and not that good, but it's still so amazingly awesome.
So great.
Yeah, I am all caught up. Except I have not watched any of season 4. I've watched all the movies and I've seen the first 3 seasons, and I would agree. There are some parts where you're just like, oh man, this is cheesy as hell, but you still just can't not watch, because it really is great nostalgia. And you know, at this point, we're all like decades invested into these characters at this point. So
yes, they need to bring back Dukes of Hazzard as a TV show and Airwolf. If they do that, then I can die.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm going to drop another F-bomb funny story, by the way. So
my Nick wife pitching in. All right.
This involves my baby. So my wife was doing something. She dropped something and she's like, oh fuck. And Liam said, fuck 45 times in a row. it was incredible. I'm like, dude, you're 18 months old. And you just said, fuck 45 times in a row. I now
have to tag this episode as inappropriate language, Nick. We could have said it once, but now I got it. Now it's an inappropriate thing.
That's great.
Yeah,
it was but a single tear.
I did. I was like, damn, high five, bro. High fived. And then he gave me knuckles. I was like, dude.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Can I reach it from here? Let's see.
See, that's the kind of stuff I'm missing out on.
Okay, I got to show you now.
I know. Then I was like, all right, now I got to send him to church with grandma because she goes to Catholic church. And I'm like, you know, we'll get him to drop an F-bomb when the priest is quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a quick Hail Mary.
Yeah, exactly.
Our Father. It's all good.
The church. It'll be great.
Do you have any tattoos?
Zero.
Wow. As a rock star musician and a crazily awesome good band, that surprises me a touch.
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of odd. This
is it a personal decision right or just never happened?
Honestly, there was a few years back where I was really close to getting one. And then I was just like, you know what? I'm just getting one to get one at this point. And do I really know what I want? No. Am I going to like it 5 years from now? Probably not, because most things I liked 5 years ago, I don't like now.
Right.
So, yeah, just decided against it.
All right. So anyway, I've got Nick's got like 80 zillion covering his almost entire body. I've got a few, but my next one, my daughter, she wrote me a note and then drew a picture. And at the bottom of that note, it was basically, I love you, daddy. And, you know, you're my best friend, et cetera, which heartwarming. But I don't know if you can see that. Oh, of course. It's a fist bump. Can you see it?
Oh, yeah. Through? I can see it a little bit. Yep.
So I'm literally taking that to the tattoo shop and say, copy that. And we just got to figure out a spot, but daddy drew that. Yeah. On her own.
That's really good.
She I couldn't have done YouTube that. On her iPad and they've got like instructional videos. So she just follows along with all these artists and cool. She's getting real good. I mean, you see it. Oh, this green screen is killing me. Anyway, she drew a Star Wars character. Is that no? I don't know if you can see that. Is that coming through? Nope, it's not coming through. I'm just gonna have to add these as pictures to the photograph later or something, etc. It's important that you love your kids. Keith doesn't understand this yet. He's got an idea. He's a loving uncle. Probably the best way to go about doing it, you know, after having kids myself, like we mentioned earlier in the episode. But he has left the option open for having kids in the future. It's TikTok though, Keith, 41 years old. Just saying, I don't want to sound like a nuisance to your mother or anything, but Keith, darling, you got to.
I'll tell you right now, I'm 42. Jason, no 18 month old around is hard as hell. It's like, I get up and I work out every day. I run 5 miles a day and this little guy wears me out.
I bet. That's a young man's game.
I'm going to leave you with a final. I keep saying that, but I'm having so much fun with you, Keith.
You just won't shut up.
What is on tap in your life, and whether it be personal or professional, literally in the next 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Well, I'm taking a trip to Los Angeles.
Okay.
I'm going to hang out there for a bit.
Can you shed the reason?
Well,
a pleasure.
So we have a place out there that we rent, and just checking up on it. Going to stay there for a bit and probably work on some new solo tunes with my friend/producer pal out there. So yeah, that's it.
When you say LA, LA is a big place. I know it's easy to say just LA, but I'm from there. Mm-hmm. What town is it actually? LA or you somewhere on the outskirts?
So it's a little bit, I guess it's in between downtown and Pasadena is where place is.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Next
Montecito.
Montecito. There you go. That's what I was looking for. Montecito, yeah, California.
Or Montecito Heights, I guess. That's the street.
Not terribly far away from Vegas. Nick's going to be in Vegas first week of February. Are you a fan of Vegas? Are you a fan of Vegas, Keith?
You know, I love Vegas. For some reason, I feel like I'm very just kind of, for the most part, an introvert. But for some reason, every time I'm in Las Vegas, it just has this crazy, cool excitement and energy just in the air. It's either that, or it's just that it's just pure just desperation in the air from people just trying to win money all the time. But I don't know. I just like it. It's cool.
I'm kind of excited. I'm going to explore outside of the strip this time and see what else is out there. And so we have the guys that manage
dad down there. Lots of dirt.
I'm excited to see that. I want to see Ben's backyard as BMX.
Oh, track. Yeah.
On for the kid and
skateboard ramp he's got going on. That would be pretty cool. Yeah. All right, Keith. Well, I'm going to leave you with an opportunity to share your platform. If there's any like Instagram, Facebook, websites you'd like to share to let everyone know where they can check out your solo stuff, of course, Breaking Benjamin, et cetera, et cetera. And then if there's any parting advice that you can give to our viewers and our listeners on any topic, which you've given earlier, now's the time and we'd love to hear it.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm on all the social media apps, including TikTok.
Yes, including TikTok.
But there's not much on there. But the handle is at KJ Wallen. That's also my Twitter and Instagram handles as well. Facebook, just my name, Keith Wallen. I have a website, keithwallen.com, Keith Wallen, blah, 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 blah. All of that.
No selfish, Keith.
I know.
And everything's about you.
I hate it. This is the worst part about being a musician, honestly. It's the most uncomfortable is trying to sell myself. I know I got to play the game. But as far as advice, I guess whatever it is, whether it's music, whether it's your career, whether it's love, whether it's life, whether it's anything, the best thing I could ever say in my mind is to not ever give up on what you're working on, because I would not be in my career. I would not be where I am in my life if I had given up on music, because there are plenty of opportunities where I could have just been like, man, this just isn't working. This isn't working. I need to do something else. And either I was just too stupid to quit or what, but I don't know. I just feel like if you really, 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 really want something realistically that's in the realm of possibility that you could possibly do, just keep doing it and keep manifesting it and keep, I don't know, filling up that positivity and pouring that into that. And even if you don't quite get there, you might, I don't know, learn a lot about yourself and find something else that's close to that you might like. But anyway, a long-winded answer. I don't know.
And even if it isn't realistic in your mind, screw them. Keep trying anyway.
Absolutely. Because mine was definitely not realistic. And I had a lot of people and a lot of doors slammed in my face and people saying, you'll never do that. And I would just be like, okay, but I'm going to try anyway. And so I don't know.
Good advice from Mr. Keith Wallen. He is a member of the band Breaking Benjamin and, of course, an amazing solo artist as well. Check him out. Keith, I want to thank you very much for taking the time out of your day and joining us on Dadcast. You've been amazing. He is not a dad, but that's okay.
I'm Uncle. It's like Uncle Cast.
Uncle Cast. Yeah. Yay. We've actually got some things planned in the future, and that might be another, a spinoff. Of what we're doing.
There you go.
Mom cast, dad cast, kid cast, uncle cast, auntie cast.
Yeah.
Pretty soon him and I are going to be grandpa cast, you know.
There you go. Well, thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's really fun hanging out with y'all. Hopefully we can play a show sometime again near you guys, and we can all hang. So yeah,
absolutely, appreciate y'all. He'll be in touch. We got lots of plans. We're putting together a bunch of cool things. We'd love to have you out here. Heck, maybe we even come out your direction and interview the dads in Breaking Benjamin that do have kids or something. I don't know.
Absolutely.
you've been amazing. Good luck and Godspeed with all your future endeavors, Keith. And again, thank you very much. For everyone else listening and watching this, please like it up, subscribe, comment, do all that good stuff. It really helps out the channel. We appreciate you, and we will see you next week. Have a great rest of your day.